full of Christ, of which this book says, please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So there is not a book in this book that has more of Christ in it than Colossians, four short chapters, but so full, so full. Remember verse 27, we looked at Christ in you, in us, is the hope of glory and all that that means. And then he says in verse 28, whom we preach. Colossians 1, 28 says, we preach Christ. That's what he said. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, whom we preach. This is not a slogan, but this is our mission. This is our message, our. I say our, because as Paul said to the Corinthians, seeing we have this ministry, I need to turn this down. We're all in this ministry, and Christ is our message, isn't it? We are witnesses of him. And it says we preach Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 17. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, that is to see how many people I could baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, or that is excellency of speech, or persuasible words of man's wisdom, human reasoning, lest the cross of Christ, that horrible, terrible thing that our Lord endured for his people, the cross of Christ, the bluntness of it, the terror of it, the fear of it, the wonder and the glory of it, lest that should be made of no effect by high-sounding words. The preaching of the cross, verse, read on. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto us which are saved, it's power of God. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? He challenges all so-called wisdom in this world. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer, the arguer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, here's wisdom. The wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Read on. The Jews require signs. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. We really do, don't we? Mm-hmm. Look at chapter 2. He says in verse 1, when I came to you, brethren, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That is, high-sounding words. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, this is not just it's not a slogan. It's what we do. It's Christ, the gospel of Christ is the power of God. If Christ is in you, the truth is in you. Go back to hold 1 Corinthians. We'll come back in a moment. But if Christ is in you, the truth is in you. What is the truth? Christ said, I am the truth. Truth is not doctrine. Truth is a person. And the scriptures talks about the love of the truth. God puts the love of the truth. Some don't receive the love of the truth, but God's elect receive the love of the truth. What's that? It's a love for him, for Christ. They love to hear Christ preach. Never tire of hearing one you love. If you love somebody, my wife and I have been married for a long time now. And we tell the same stories about ourselves, about our children, about our friends, over and over. We never tire of talking about the one we love. Well, this is the way it is with Christ. If Christ is in you, then when I preach Christ and men preach Christ, and you don't tire of hearing Christ because you love him. We never tire of hearing the message of him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If somebody literally laid down their life for you, or you're a prisoner, you're a criminal, worthless, no good, and some lovely person came and traded places with you, that person would be your story the rest of your days, wouldn't it? Now that's so it is with those whom Christ is in. We preach Christ, not a slogan. It's what we do because this is who we love. This is the dividing line. This is the line drawn in the sand. This is the winnowing fan that winnows the threshing floor. It separates the wheat from the chaff. It really is. That separates the true from the false, the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. Those who love Christ, they want to hear Christ. They never tire of hearing Christ. Do you remember in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord said that he proved Israel by the manna. They ate one thing for 40 years. Manna, bread from heaven. What's that? Christ said, Moses didn't give you that bread. He said, I gave you that bread. God gave you that bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. And when it first came, they were all amazed by it. Wow, what is this? It's sweet as honey. Wafers dipped in honey. They were amazed by it. They marveled at it. They loved it. This is wonderful. They were told to go out and gather it. And they woke up early and got and gathered it. God said, I'll prove you by this manna. 35 years later, some of them, it says, grew tired. And they called that manna light bread. We want something else. And God was angry. And they didn't go in. They didn't go in the promised land. All those that grew tired of the manna, they didn't go in. This is how you know if Christ is in you. You never tire of hearing Christ. And you really don't want to hear anything else. My pastor once said, people that don't love Christ, people that are just religious, they want to hear messages on church history. They want to hear messages on high-sounding doctrine. They want to hear messages that have no heart-piercing power. But those who know and love Christ, they want to hear Christ preach. Is that you? Whom we preach. The next word is warning. Whom we preach. Warning. Now that lesson from Deuteronomy 8 was a warning to those who... Recently a man said about the preaching here. He wasn't being fed. So he went somewhere else. Now, my answer to that is, you must not love Christ. You must not know what good food is. Right? Are you being fed? I've been accused of many things, but that is not one of them. That's just not true. When our Lord said to Simon Peter, do you love me? Then what did he say? Feed my what? What's the first thing? Lambs. See, this person wanted to hear, you know, other things that would feed his intellect. I'm not here to feed intellect. I'm here to feed our hearts. And Christ said, my body is meat indeed. I'm food, Christ said. I am the food. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he has life. He knows me. He feeds on me. My pastor said, I fear for those who tire of hearing of Christ, because God someday is going to get tired of them. And they're not going to enter. Just like the children of Israel. Just like them. Whom we preach, warning, warning, warning. Hebrews 1. And we warn. The scriptures, how many times have we heard this? That the scriptures are full of warnings, lest we presume, and promises, lest we despair. Warnings and promises. Paul wrote, he said, knowing the goodness and severity of God. And warning. He said to the Ephesians when he was leaving them, his last words to the Ephesians, well, they weren't going to see him ever again. He said, I cease not to warn you day and night with tears, preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things. This is my message, Paul said. And to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, that whole chapter is a warning in about the children of Israel. Hebrews is a summary of the whole Old Testament in it. What is the whole Old Testament about? What's the Bible about? How does Hebrews begin? Talking about the Son. It's Hebrews 1. God in sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Sounds like Colossians 1, doesn't it? It is. That's the story of this book. He's the story of this book. Who being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, upholding all things. You see, Christ really is all in. By himself purged our sins. Well, if you're a sinner, you never get tired of hearing that, do you? And he goes on to speak of Christ. Chapter 2, then he said, he warns, and Brother John Cheesley Jr. read this in the study last Wednesday, chapter 1. He said, we can't stop at chapter 1. We've got to read chapter 2. And that's wise, brother, because after that, there's a warning. Verse 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The more earnest heed. What's that? So much more as we see the day approaching. Can an old believer grow tired of the gospel? That's what happened to the children of Israel. Nobody over 20 went in. But two. Warning, warning, warning. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no other messages. Chapter 3, holy brethren. Chapter 3, consider him, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if? If we hold fast the confidence, and if we never cease rejoicing, if we never quit rejoicing. See, these are the true people of God. They worship God in spirit, and they what? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. They don't only just believe doctrine. They rejoice in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know them. Unto the end, firm unto the end. Verse 7, read on of chapter 3. And this is on and on. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you'll hear his voice. When's that? What's today mean? Today. This day. What are we doing right now? What am I doing? Preaching Christ. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. What hardens our heart? The world. Sin. How's it purged? Christ crucified. Verse 13, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Paul lamented. He wept. He said, Demas hath forsaken us. Forsaken me. having loved this present world. Verse 13, exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're made partakers of Christ if. You know how you know that Christ is holding you is if you just don't want to let go of him. That's what Jacob, the Lord came and wrestled with him, and Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. See, you bless me. And the Lord didn't let go of him, did he? He sure didn't. All right, I've had so many in Hebrews to look at, but go back to chapter 1 of Colossians. Our text says, in whom we preach, verse 28, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. We preach Christ, we teach Christ. Line upon line, don't we? Verse upon verse. Types, shadows, pictures. It's all Christ. All he is, all he said, all he did. In all wisdom. We preach and teach in all wisdom. What is all wisdom? In him dwelleth all the wit. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. Here it is. In whom are hid. See, it's hid from the wise and the prudent. The worldly wise. The religious wise that want to hear all these. I'm going to talk about soteriology. And by the way, soteriology is a fancy name for salvation. Why would you have to put a fancy name on it? Why would you call it that? Why would you call it that? It's not in the Bible. Why not say salvation? Because it sounds good and it tickles our intellect. Not mine. My dad used to say, don't preach. We're not preaching to giraffes. Sheep. Down here. And he began with the lambs. Lambs, little lambs. Soteriology. Infralapsarianism. Superlapsarianism. You know what that is? Transubstantiation. Do you know what that is? You don't need to know what that is. Amen. The millennial reign. Are you pre, post, or amillennial? Are you? What are you? They've been arguing about that for years. You know what? They don't know. None of them hadn't decided it. Then why argue about it? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Much ado about nothing. All wisdom, teaching and preaching, we preach in all wisdom. What is all wisdom? Did you hold 1 Corinthians? Look at chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. We're going to deal with that in a minute. Not the wisdom of this world. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's hidden from the wise of this world. God hath ordained for the world. None of the princes of the world knew. They had known they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Now go down to verse 14. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned, meaning the Spirit of God must reveal them. And he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And he is judged and understood by no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? What is the mind of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord? What is the purpose of the Lord? What is this understanding of all things? What is wisdom? What is knowledge? Not what? So we have the mind of Christ. Christ is all. Where's that found? Colossians 3, verse 11. Christ is all. And here's our aim. Go back to the text. Colossians 1. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that is, in all things concerning Christ. If it's a message about anything but Christ, it's useless. Because Christ is all. He's all we need to know. That's why science and medicine, you know, this is foolishness. I don't care what people may think of them and say about them, but if anyone who rejects God is a fool. Anything that begins, so-called wisdom begins, that there's no God, is utter foolishness. How foolish can you be? Everything must begin with God. The study of anything must begin with God, doesn't it? Because all things began with God. And end with God. And everything in between. And Christ said, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I'm all. Christ is all. So I'm not interested in what science and what they're saying. Not interested. Religion. It's all about social programs and humanitarian programs. It's an abomination to God. It's useless to mankind. The purpose of the church is one thing. It's called the pillar and ground of the truth. What's that? Him, it's Christ's person. We preach Christ. Paul said, we preach Christ. Whom to know is to have eternal life. Be found in him and him in you. Christ is all. It's the hope of glory. As it said there in verse 27. All right. He says, we preach Christ, warning every man, teaching in all wisdom, that is in Christ, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ. Present everyone. Now go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you know Paul's not saying that he, or a preacher, or even an apostle can present anyone to God. No, Jude tells us that. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is to the only wise God, our Savior. To him be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And Christ one day is going to present all his people saying, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. They're all here. None lost. I've kept them all. He presents us. But here's, and this being, this perfection. Let me just say this from the outset. This is not talking about sinless perfection. You know where we get sinless perfection? Jesus Christ. He is made unto us righteousness, sanctification, holiness, all things. He's our hope. He's our holiness. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our justification. Name something. He's it. Propitiation. Big word. Now those are Bible words we need to understand. Reconciliation. He's all. Now. But let me just say this. The word perfect here means whole. Mature. Read on with Ephesians 4. He expounds on this a little more. He said, when Christ, verse 8, led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. Go down to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. You see that? For the work of the ministry. This is talking about maturing in the faith, growth. Peter's last words were these. Grow in grace and what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you grow in grace. By studying him. By looking to him. And in looking to him, we will see this in a moment. We become like him. More like it. Verse 12. For the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, whole, mature, having a mature understanding, complete understanding. the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Read on here. And he compares this perfect man to a little child. Verse 14. That we be no more children tossed to and fro. That fellow I was telling you about. He's like the Athenians who want nothing more than the telling and the hearing of some new thing. The Athenians were Athens, Greece, worldly wise men. Thought they were something. Oh, look, did you hear this? Oh, let's go over here and hear that. Some new thing. I don't want to hear a new thing. And you don't either. Tell me the old story. He said, stand and see and search for the old paths wherein is the good way. You need to hear the old gospel is as old as God. That God preached in the beginning. And he didn't change the subject. The Athenians wanted to hear this and that. And look over here. They're doing this. Look over. I saw a big sign. We were coming back from Martinsville yesterday. On 220 or Danville. Wherever it was. This big mega place. Mega church so called. Sign out front. Come see what God is doing. That sums up religion today. Come see these signs and wonders and miracles and all that. We need to come hear what God has done. That's what we need. We need to come hear the gospel of what God has done, what Christ has done for us. Isn't that what you want to hear? Brother Ron, isn't that not what you want to hear? Nothing else. Tell me what he has done. And that's what, if you hear what he has done for you, you know what you'll do? You'll go tell others what he has done for you. You'll tell them what good things the Lord hath done for you. He'll be your witness. He'll be your testimony. Right?
Amen.
That's right. Ephesians 4, look at verse 14. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. Little children, you see. Little children are easily deceived. Little children are easily influenced. Easily influenced. Easily impressed. Wow. Not grown men. Grown men aren't easily impressed. They're not impressed with words, high sounding words. Easily afraid. Little children are easily afraid. We need to acquit ourselves like men. Little children are taken up with toys. Are you telling me we don't need perfected? It even says of Christ that he was made perfect by the same things he suffered. Does that mean he wasn't holy? And wasn't, oh, that's not what that means. It means he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's what it says about Christ. Now, if it says that about us, him, what about us? Here's the illustration. Let me finish here, Ephesians 4. It says, verse 14, little children are easily influenced by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, they lie in wait to deceive. But we speak the truth in love. What's that? It's Christ. The truth that we may grow up into him in all things and understand of him. Faith in him. Love for him. And it goes on to say, he's the head. We're the body. United to him. Verse 16. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That compacted, what does that mean? Well, brethren, I'm 65 years old now, and I do not, this finger is more a part of me now than it's ever been. I just don't want to do without it. And this is the thing, the body of Christ becomes more compacted the longer you're together. This little finger is different than my little toe. It's different than my ear. Well, can I say, well, I don't need it? I've been having so, you know, aches and pains. And I've got bunions. Well, that's an admission of old age. Then I've got bunions. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Karen? Painfully hurt. And sometimes I can't walk. Serious. I need my little toe to be well. The body's compacted together. Can't do without one another. This is maturity. That's what we're about. Not about me and mine. My little finger never says it. What about me? Read on. Verse 16. The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body, maketh increase. Edify. What's that? Building up. Where's all this come from? Love. Love. And he went on to say it's the bond of perfectness. Maturity. It's the bond of perfectness. Maturity. Hopefully the older we get, the more compassionate we'll be, the more understanding we'll be, the more long-suffering we'll be, the more gracious we'll be, the kinder we'll be. Why? We learn something of ourselves. We ought to know something of other people's frame. If we love one another, we ought to love them more than when we first began. It's the bond of perfectness. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Do we need perfecting? In this sense, we sure do. We're complete in Christ. Go back to the text. It says that in chapter 2, verse 10. There's a new man that's whole, it's perfect. New man. The youngest child in this congregation is Josh Montgomery. Okay? Does he look like his dad or what? Anyway, all right. What a beautiful boy. Oh, man, he's beautiful. But when he was born, he's obviously got all his fingers and toes, his legs and arms, we see that, and hair and eyes and ears and all that. He's a complete little man, isn't he? Complete. He's not going to grow another ear, not going to grow another toe. But he himself's going to grow. Hopefully he'll grow like his dad. I love that man. He'll grow up to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of his father. Does that make it plain? We need that. How's that happen? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then Paul talks about meat, milk and meat and bread and water and honey. What's that? What? It's all Christ. And let me just in closing. And I did not even finish Colossians 1. Just one verse left. Verse 29, he said, I labor striving. One place he said, I travail in birth till what? Christ be formed in you. According to his working, Paul said, it's not me. At all. Do I preach the gospel? I have nothing to glory in. Well, woe is unto me if I preach not. The working of him in me mightily. I want you to read this with me. I wrote it down. So 2 Corinthians 3. This tells it better than I can. 2 Corinthians 3. Here it is. And this talks about the types and the symbols and the shadows and the reading of the Old Testament and the veil that's on people's faces and the reading of the Old Testament. And verse 16, when that person is turned to the Lord, the veil is removed. You begin to see clearly. Now verse 17, the Lord is that Spirit, Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Oh my. But we all, verse 18, here it is. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's this word here. As we look at, read, and hear read, and hear preach the glory of the Lord, the gospel of the glory of Christ, the face of Christ. Here it is. We're changed into the same image. from glory to glory. You know, the gospel ought to get more glorious to us until we get, till finally we leave this place and get, end up in glory. It's by the Spirit of the Lord, though. It's by the Spirit. It's not by preachers, not by preaching. It's not by anything a man can do. It's the Spirit of God. And He takes the things of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Here's what He does. He takes the, all the things of Christ and begins to show them unto you. And you just, and you become like Him. You love Him so much, you want to walk like Him. Be like Him. Those people in the Bunyan's book, Holy War, when Emmanuel came and busted the ear gate and the eye gate down, led captivity, Diabolus, chained him up and paraded him down through the street, and Emmanuel set up on the throne in the heart of man, it says when he was walking down the street, when Emmanuel, the Son of God, was walking down the street, that all the citizens were so happy that He had delivered them. He says they all got behind Him. And they wanted to put their feet where He walks. Walk just like Him. So thankful. So enamored with. So amazed by the Son of God. That'll make you like Him. Okay.